This is a 3CR podcast.
And this is Published or Not.
Good morning, Jan.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, not actually you, to us.
Or to 3CR.
Yeah, it's our 50th year here
you
and we're having
don't look a day over 21, Jan.
So being 3CR's 50th, we wanted to do a little history of writing programs that have been on 3CR over these 50 years. A lot of this, of course, was before my time and even way before yours, David.
Thank you.
I hope it's correct. So it was 1977. There was an education program called Inside Out. And this was replaced by Writers Radio, which was syndicated from Adelaide. Now, also at this time, there was Captain Crowbar. This was an interactive stories dramatised on air. Now, it was for kids, but I think a lot of adults enjoyed it too, David.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1992, Scheherazade. Now, David, tell us who Scheherazade was.
A Thousand and One Nights and Telling a Story to Save Your Life. She was able to remain married to the Sultan who beheaded his wives.
After the first night,
but she kept telling a story in the to be continued tomorrow night, and so she was able to survive by telling a story.
A climax in a different way.
Oh dear.
And then the Victorian Writers' Centre, which we spoke about last time,
and the Wheeler Centre, and that's morphed into
Writers Victoria.
Yeah, and you know we are a writing state basically.
Now, the Victorian Writers' Centre was in the Broom Factory in Fitzroy. I remember going there, and it was purely a writers' program, and it operated from 1990 to 1998, and this program was called Writers at Work.
Ah, so now we've got to press the button, do we?
Yes, because we want to welcome Cheryl Clark.
I'll see if it
on to the program.
And here we go. Press the green button. Go for it.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Do we have anybody?
Oh, right. So we're having Juliet coming in to fix this up. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Fantastic. Now, Cheryl, I've given a little bit of history here. And so how did you get involved with Writers at Work?
I was working at the Footscray Community Arts Centre. And they were looking for someone to do Writers at Work. And so I volunteered. I thought it would be a learning experience and a lot of fun, and I love talking to writers. So it ended up that Kristen Henry and I did it together for a while, and then other people came on board after Kristen.
Jackie Bankey, and then me. I joined 1997, and the program actually stopped in 1998. I have nothing to do with me, but
well, surely, Cheryl, you could spill the beans on Jan, and what was she like to work with?
Very professional.
She was brilliant. Yeah. No, Jan was great. Everyone has been great. You know, it's just 3CR is a great community to be part of. And I think having a program just for writers to talk about their books and their writing has always been great. And that it's kept going is even better, you know, when other books and writers programs have disappeared.
Yeah, there's not very many of them. Now, so what happened? You were writing your own books. And in 1977, you published The Too Tight Tutu, which was the first children's book. And after that, there was another 69, Cheryl.
Yeah, I think I'm up to about 75 now. I've slowed down a bit because I'm also now writing adult crime fiction.
Yes, well, we're going to get on to that. But I really want to congratulate you because a couple of years ago you won the Prime Minister's Literary Award.
Yes, I did. Yes, for a novel that I was very happy to have published. It meant a lot to me, that one.
Okay, sometimes writing takes you to exotic places and that's just not in your imagination. Where were you when you were writing the verse novel Mina and the Whole World?
Well, I actually went to do a residency in Finland. I was at a place called Arteleys, which is out in the countryside a bit, in the middle of nowhere. And I went there to write a crime novel, and I'd already done research and had interviewed a police detective in Finland, in Tampere, which was the nearest city. And every so often, some of us would drive into town and sit in a really neat cafe, which was run by a local community group. And I sat down one afternoon to work on my crime novel, and this verse novel demanded to be written. I'd been thinking about it and feeling stuck on it for about 2 years. And then suddenly one day I sat down and I thought, I know how to write that now. And away I went.
It's a lovely little story. Well, little because it's a verse novel. Not very many words, but the emotion certainly comes out in it, and at the globe and two kids from very different backgrounds and just how to communicate. Yeah, lovely. I can understand why you wrote it over there. So how did you enjoy Finland?
I loved it, actually. I kept hoping it would snow. I was there in November. And then finally, in about the last week, it did start to snow, so I was very excited about that.
Well, from Finland, now you understand the whole Radiothon program, because we're going from Finland to Camberwell, and we've had a donation. And David?
Well, it's Anne, and I think it might be my friend Anne who's donated, and we've interviewed Anne on the show.
So, well, I think it's my friend Anne.
Oh, you think your friend? It could be your friend, Anne.
I think it's my friend.
Has she
friend
been
Anne
interviewed on?
She's just a reader.
It could be your friend Anne.
Well, maybe your friend Anne should ring in. So that's what we want our people to do, don't we?
Well, ring in now and make a donation, and we can actually leave a few books at the front desk if you want to come and pick them up. Yeah, keep going, Jan.
Okay, well, from verse novels, I know you've also written poetry books for adults, and your first writing was for adults, but you kept these manuscripts in your bottom drawer. So, Cheryl Clark, what was the genre you were writing and putting in your bottom drawer?
Well, I got about 20,000 words into a really, really bad romance and decided, no, that wasn't going to be something. And I mean, I'm talking late 80s for that. But I did have two crime novels that I wrote very early on, neither of which were very good, but, they were a learning experience. This is how we learn a lot of the time. And then my first actual published crime novel, Trust Me, I'm Dead, I worked on that for 10 years before I submitted that. So it just was bubbling away in the background, and I think I did 8 drafts of it before it was good enough.
But you won something with that, which must have given you confidence. What did you win?
Well, I was shortlisted for the Crime Writers Association debut Dagger. And that was what I was really hoping for, because all of the shortlisted entries were sent out to publishers and agents in the UK who were interested in, having a look. And from that, I ended up with a 2-book publishing deal with Verve Books, which is part of Oldcastle. And Verve ended up publishing 3 in the series. So Trust Me, I'm Dead was the first, and that was how they discovered it, and that's what started that whole new area of writing for me and publishing.
Just one thing on that. If it was published in the United Kingdom, so tell me, does it matter about having the setting? You probably set these in Australia, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
Was that a draw card?
A little bit. I think they were more interested in the character and the situations, because the first novel has a background of the Melbourne Gangland Wars. So I think that intrigued them as well, something they hadn't seen before. And I tend to do that with my crime novels. I use things from the newspaper. So you know, reading John Sylvester's columns in The Age is always inspiring. I've got a few little ideas from what he writes.
And what about series? So you get a character, like in that the Trust Me, I'm Dead, it was Judy Westerholm, and in the next series you have Mel Forrest, a homicide detective, and in your later series you've got Lou Talbot, a private investigator. So you do you get the job first and then the character, or the other way around?
I tend to get the character first and the situation that they start from. So with Lou, she actually started as a short story. So I wrote a short story to enter into the Sisters in Crime Scarlet Stiletto Award. And after I had finished the story and entered it, I thought, oh, I really like this character and maybe I can write a novel about her and expand it. And I made the big mistake of trying to cram the short story into the beginning of the novel. And so I ended up, I threw out two lots of 30,000 words. I got that far both times and thought, this is really not working. And then I realised it was because I was trying to cram in the short story. So I had to start again. And then the third time lucky. And the parts of the short story are still in there, but in a different way that works better. So
I'm going to stop you there because we've got another donation.
Well,
oh, good.
Jenny has made a sizable donation, which is much appreciated. Shall we say who Jenny is?
Oh, go for it.
Go for it. I'm Jan's sister-in-law, and I'm very proud, she says. So you're keeping somebody happy.
Oh, thank
you. I think you owe Jenny a drink now, Jan.
Oh, I'm blushing here.
You are indeed.
Well, that's a happy girl story. Now, tell me about For All the Dead Girls. Because this is Cheryl Clarke's latest book, and it's not a happy story.
Well, it has some positives in it, especially the ending. You know, we always hope for justice in our novels, don't we? Our crime novels. But Lou is tasked with rescuing a woman from her abusive partner. And she has to go up to New South Wales to do that. So she's actually doing something probably illegal, transporting someone with their child across the state border. But she does it anyway because that's her thing. She just is very much about protecting and looking after women. And she arrives back in Melbourne at the safe house and finds the two women in the safe house dead, and that's where it starts.
I didn't realise that you yourself, you know, you talk about using John Sylvester as research stuff, but I'm surprised that it's you that's also got a background in working or volunteering in a woman's refuge.
Yes, I did for a whole year. A long time ago now, but I don't think anything's changed. Refuges are still full and there are still dozens and dozens of women all the time who've got nowhere to go, which I think, you know, you would hope that things were different now, but they're actually worse. And back then, you know, I saw and experienced and met a lot of women in very difficult situations and, you know, that has stayed with me for right up until now. So you don't forget something like that.
I know you're coming over back from New Zealand to launch this and over the Friday 26th weekend, you've got a number of things on. But I also read about it. Lou Talbot, private investigator, dark web hate group, becomes the number one target of their vicious campaign of incited violence, like hashtag get Lou, hashtag kill the bitch. This whole thing about social media and just how harmful it can be and how hurtful. So I hope there is hope at the end of the story.
Well, You'll have to read it and find out, Jan.
That's what we say to all our authors, read it and find out.
And what would we like to say to our listeners?
Well, listeners, I just give a word to Kathy and John. I've got a message up here. Kathy and John have just made a donation, which is very much appreciated. What I'm actually loving is poor Meg in the other room. She's got two figures to work on. One is to add, which seems to be fairly easy. But the other one is to subtract, because we've got this total we have to reach. Mm. So she's subtracting there as money comes in, but she's adding to the figure that we've accumulated over time. So she's got to think in both, you know, minuses and pluses as she goes. She's got a calculator. She's just showing me the calculator in the screen.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to Cheryl Clark and talk to her about the things that she's adding. And I think she's adding more degrees after her name. Have you finished your PhD yet, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah. I finished that about 8 years ago now.
Oh, What did you get it in? What did you do it in?
It was in creative arts, but my topic was fairy tales. So one of the aspects was looking at how dark fairy tales can help children learn resilience and courage.
Oh, my goodness. It's a hard one, that one, because, you know, I've been telling my grandkids fairy tales and they're all so dark at the end that I've had to change a few. Is that wrong?
Depends on how old they are, actually. But I think, yeah, once they get to about 5 or 6, if they don't like them, they won't ask for them again.
Well, it's all these blended families, and so often it's the nasty stepmother. And I think that's just not fair. Now, I'm going to have to stop you, Cheryl, because David wants to have a few more words.
Well, I've got a message on the screen. Ring 94198377 if you want to make a donation. But here's a donation, a very generous donation. Barry Scott, Transit Lounge. So he's a publisher. He gives us books more often than not to hand away. So that's what we do. We give books to listeners. We give them away for free, but if they make a donation. But Barry, his usual generous self, he's been doing that regularly for the last, 10 years or so. So very much appreciated there.
Yes. What other publishers have donated books?
Well, the list of publishers. So there's Barry from Transit Lounge, of course. We've had Pan Macmillan, Affirm Press, Echo Press, Scribe is another one. A lot of these are smaller publishing houses that are keeping in touch with us. Simon & Schuster have made books available. Allen & Unwin, HarperCollins. So there are quite a number of the well-known publishing houses and all of the other little ones as well, because, we get to interview their authors and they seem to appreciate what we do for some strange reason.
Well, I've just got a donation of $50 from Andrea. Great show. All writers and readers need it.
Indeed, they do.
I think we need publishers too.
We need publishers. And we need the authors, because it keeps us going as well, keeps us mentally active and engaged.
And talking about authors, because we've got Cheryl Clark on the phone, who used to be a presenter here at 3CR with a program called Writers at Work. But she's coming back to Melbourne to do a very big weekend. Tell us what you're doing, Cheryl.
Well, I'm actually popping over this weekend to do the Williamstown Literary Festival. So we'll be doing a session on crime fiction and I'll be teaching a class on writing picture books. And then I come back on the 26th of June for a Sisters in Crime event, which is always great fun at the Rising Sun Hotel.
We had Marley Cornish on the program last week and she's on the panel and it's called Gone, It's Missing People.
Yep. Looking forward to that. And then I'm doing events in Ballarat and Geelong and at the Hoppers Crossing Library for Wyndham Libraries and a few other bits and pieces along the way, and looking forward to catching up with people I haven't seen for a while, which will be lovely.
Well, Cheryl Clark, I'm delighted that we've caught up with you and caught up with a little bit of history of writing programs on 3CR. Thanks very much, Cheryl.
Thanks, Jan.
And I'll press the green button. But, Cheryl's responsible for one of the people responsible for what we are doing here today now. But just a little reminder, if you want to donate and if you think our interviews with authors are worthwhile, you can ring 9419 8377 and make a donation. The other option you've got is to go to 3cr.org.au and you'll be able to make donations that way as well. But you've got one to read out, Jan, a donation.
I have. This is from Anonymous, and it's to it's actually from the 500 champions. Well, I don't know whether that's 500 books that are champions of or 500 card game.
Oh.
Well.
I've got one here from Julie McNamara with a little message. Keep celebrating physical books, as in that notion of getting a book in your hand. There's something about that, you know, that is really important rather than the digital. I noticed it the other day. I just had to read a book to review, and they sent me a digital copy because the hard copies were just about to come out. There is something about having a book in your hand and working with it. But thanks, Julie, for your donation.
Yes. Now, we've talked about Writers at Work, but I want to talk about Published or Not.
Indeed.
Because it started back in 1999, and we've had a number of presenters on the program, Chris Ritter, Ewan Mitchell, Brendan Gulliver, who've all gone on to other things. And then in 2012, David McLean. He came on the program with a book called Finding Kobe, and he stayed.
You couldn't get rid of me. They're still trying to wedge me out of here with a crowbar.
And then, Finding Kobe, then there was the Riddle books.
The Riddle books and things like that. So a number of things like that, delving into the world of writing. I've had articles in The Age and things like that. So, you know, just more on the periphery of things, more than anything else, rather than an established or, well-known, famous writer. I don't think I'll be winning any awards.
No, but we get to talk to them, don't we?
Well, we get to talk to the authors, which is phenomenal. And some of these are international authors on tour. Some of them have got great ideas, etc. We get to actually interview the authors before they get an award, as in, the Miles Franklin I interviewed. I've done that a couple of times now. Interviewed the person who's written this great book, and then, you know, a year later, they get the Miles Franklin, and you sort of rub your hand on your chest and think, yes, well, I've interviewed them, of course, but yeah.
And then in 2022, just 4 years ago, we had a group come in who had won prizes, short stories in the Furphy. Furphy anthology. And one of those was Lisa Moore. And she actually, I remember her when she came in here, she was sitting behind the microphone, but she was really interested to have a look at the panel.
Well, it's a very old panel that we've got here in this broadcasting studio. It's an old analog panel that we've got dials and things like that.
Well, she's a vocal artist, so she knew about radio. But she, when I said, would you be interested, she, of course, had to do some training and then came in, and she's our other presenter now, and she's gone on to write a book.
Indeed she has.
The Mother of All Calamities. And she got a three-book contract for that. And that's why you don't hear it very often on the program. She's going to be here next week.
Promoting her book. But it's given you an opportunity to start touring the world, Jan, with more compares.
Well, I'm not right. I write a diary, travel diary.
Travel diary. But how many books have you read this year?
Well, because of you and Lisa, I haven't had to read as many, and I'm only down to 30. So, but what we do notice here is how the book industry is changing. There's a lot of companies joining together, like Simon & Schuster and Affirm. You know, Affirm was a Melbourne-based company. Simon & Schuster, a very big-based company. There's been Allen & Unwin that have also picked up other publishers, I think, and
they've amalgamated
Penguin and Random House,
and they've got a global reach. Yeah,
but you know, there's still smaller companies that come to us, which is really great.
Well, Grattan Street was a new one I came across just the other day, based in out of Melbourne University, and it's the students who are running it, as in part of a media course, which I thought that's fascinating. A little boutique publisher there.
Yeah, Glasshouse Books, New Holland Publishers, Big Sky Publishing, And we have the big names and the
big names and little names. Nothing littler than David McLean and Jan Goldsmith.
That's true. The other thing that we've noticed is publicists.
Put your teeth in.
Yeah, and how it's becoming more an industry rather than the publishing companies having their own.
They've outsourced it to media companies to promote and have got other connections and the like. So we get messages from the publicists trying to get us to take on their book. And actually what they're discovering is they've got to get in early with us because we're booked June, July, August. I've even got a booking for September already. So they've got to put it as part of the publishing.
Look, I think it's just great. We get
program.
Two authors a week live in the studio.
And we've read the book.
Which, you know, they are constantly amazed at.
The authors love that. They're constantly surprised by how intimately we know their work, which is amazing.
Look, it takes about an hour, I suppose, to do the admin on sort of finding the author, making a date, doing it, and checking that they're coming in, et cetera, et cetera. Then it takes 10 hours to read a book.
At least.
And then another 2 hours to kind of look at it and think about it, and all for 14 minutes.
Each interview is 14 minutes. Sometimes it can be shorter. So it is a challenge to that reading is fairly constant that we've got to do. So we're very lucky in that regard. It is really fantastic to meet the authors, to see what they're doing, to hear what they're thinking, to talk with them. It's quite a privilege, really.
And it's a privilege to have all of you listeners, and especially people who have donated to our program.
Well, it's without the listeners and without those donations, we can't exist. So I'll say it again, 9419 8377. You can ring in and make a donation. Or if you are more digitally adept, 3cr.org.au, and you can make a donation that way. But community radio survives on the goodwill of the community, and each show here is tasked with finding the funds so it can continue next year. So we're a year-by-year proposition, which means, Jan, you've been on tenterhooks every year for the last 27 years.
Oh, no wonder I've got grey hair.
But we do manage. We've got friends that donate. We keep books aside for certain people.
And it's the interest. It's the people who come in and that make it our community. And
yeah, and people still love reading, which is very, very important. So we're probably going to have to get out of here for another week. We'll actually have authors next week. You're not in. Lisa's in next week. And that will give Meg a break from adding and subtracting. But here we go with Resident Frequency Radio. You've just been listening to Published or Not on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.